I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place. Have any expectations of Jesus lately? Yeah? Is he living up to them? Probably not. Probably not. Don't you just hate how Jesus disappoints you? Yeah, I mean, let's just be honest. We'll deal with it. Because he disappoints everyone at some point. Usually at some points. The Lord, let's just say it. Because, I mean, the Bible's full of these stories. The Lord can be very disappointing because I'm not even going to tell you why. I'll let him tell you in his own words because he says, because here's why. My thoughts are not your thoughts, okay? Which we can actually fix, but we can only fix by storing up his word in our heart, okay? But even if we do that, well, neither are your ways my ways, which means we'll still have to trust him. And then he just lets you know, here's why. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, it's one-to-one here. So are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts, you know, higher than your thoughts. Which means it is literally, in this situation, my way or the higher way. Which Isaiah calls the highway of holiness. I love that it has a name. You know, that's the path, the highway. I picked this. It's called a walking roller coaster. It's this crazy stairway. And I thought, that what a great example. His ways aren't our ways. We go, can we just have a straight one from here to there? And he says, nope. We go, can we know why? He says, nope. Can we trust that it's for our own good? Yep. Well, not only are his ways way up there, but he just won't compromise our eternal best for temporary relief down here. How disappointing from our perspective. But he just won't, especially when proper disciplinary pain brings growth and gain, right? Therefore, do not despise the Lord's discipline, okay? Do not despise the Lord's often very disappointing discipline. And do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines, not punishes, it's as in trains, like train up a child. He disciplines those he loves because we are being disciplined so we won't be condemned. And discipline and disappointment go hand in hand. And the spiritual, eternal reason for that is because we can't learn to trust our divine dad without being disappointed. Otherwise, if everything just made sense all the time, I get that, oh, and I thank you, and that's going that way, you'd never learn how to trust him. So he says, trust me, I made your brain not work on the same level as mine so that you'll grow in trust. I think it's absolutely my favorite hidden story. There's a lot of hidden stories. You hear me talk about this all the time. The hidden stories in the Bible, they're my favorites. But this has to be my favorite of my favorite hidden stories. Favorites. My favorite of my favorites. How do you say that sentence? Never mind. The hidden stories in the Gospels and Acts. And it is all about the disappointment of Jesus' appointment of Judas Iscariot. That was a disappointing moment. And it all begins on this hillside right here above the Sea of Galilee when Jesus spent the whole night praying to God, which is some serious praying because this is some serious decision making. And when morning came, he called his disciples to them. Luke later describes the same event as him calling, and he calls it, a great multitude of disciples. to him. And Jesus chose 12 of them, of the multitude of disciples. Chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Simon, who he named Peter, because there's another Simon on the list. His brother Andrew. Then there was James, John, and Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, who is called the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. And everyone was like, oh, for a second there, I don't know why, I thought he was going to say Judas Iscariot. And Judas Iscariot. Wait, what? What? Who became a traitor, which surprised no one. Because we are shown in Scripture that everyone who knew Jesus and Judas had to be like, he chose him? Make that make sense. Because Judas was a jerk. It is not hidden in Scripture. Remember, among many other things, remember how he threw a tantrum and yelled at the woman who was anointing Jesus at a dinner for Jesus? And Judas objected. Why hasn't this perfume, why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. And then Luke says what they all knew. He didn't say this because he cared about the poor. Apparently, this was common knowledge. He didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a jerk and a thief. He was a thief, which means you're a jerk. As keeper of the money bag, Jesus put him in charge of the money bag. He used to just help himself to whatever was put into it, and Jesus put up with it and let it play out for a reason. But the point here is you can't hide that kind of personality. You can't hide that kind of self-centeredness, right? So imagine the second guessing going on that hillside when Jesus announces his last pick, especially when he literally had a multitude to choose from. And not just a multitude. There was one aspiring standout in particular who actually belonged with the 12. And he had every right to be very hopeful, if not confident, that he's going to make the cut. But he didn't, so it seemed. So just imagine this disappointed, if not devastated, utterly deserving disciple waiting in vain to hear his name. But you want to know a secret? Judas was only a placeholder for the one Jesus actually chose. But how could Matt have, his name is Matt, by the way, how could Matt have possibly imagined that he's the one, he's the guy that the Spirit of Christ told King David about 1,000 years earlier? Which we'll look at a little later. We've waited 1,000 years. We can wait a couple more minutes. Wait, no, we've waited 3,000. It was 1,000 years when Jesus was choosing him. Yet despite his disappointment at the dis of this appointment, Matthias remains true to the bitter end. Which is, of course, why old Matt's the one foretold to come to take his rightful place with the 12. Because his faith overcame his disappointment. Which is what Jesus was looking for when he prays all night before choosing his 12. But here's a good question. Would you have been chosen? Yes, I would have been Judas. But which one? There is two, a good and a bad. You see, those who make the cut, well, they got to have determination to carry on when Jesus is gone. And most importantly, to remain true when he sorely disappoints them. like when they all come to realize he's not here to overthrow the Romans or even to change the government or reinstate the Jewish nation or any other assumptions and notions about what the Messiah must do. So who will remain true? Not Judas Iscariot. Will you? Matthias will. Matthias will remain true through it all, even though he won't know that he was one of Jesus' chosen 12 until after the resurrection, when Simon Peter actually weaves together Psalm 69:25 and 109:8 and goes, look at this. You see, from the beginning, when Jesus was baptized, Matt was there. I'll show you that later. He was there, unsung, unmentioned, and absolutely unaware of his foretold future. We are later told that literally everywhere Jesus went, this aspiring follower faithfully served from the sidelines. Remember the swamped boat going down when the disciples woke Jesus to save him from the storm? Remember that? Were you aware that other little boats were also with him? You see, Matt was there. Matt was there when Jesus calmed the wind and the waves. But he had to sit at the kid's boat. In fact, he's hidden in the shadows in every story concerning Jesus and the disciples, as you'll see. Matt was at the Capernaum synagogue, for instance, when Jesus gave his multitude of disciples a dose of reality. And he didn't mince or clarify his very disappointing words, because Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, because he wants to see who will just trust him. I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And well, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Well, Matt, for one, he may not get what it means. It may sound like it actually violates an Old Testament law. You can't eat blood. He must mean something else. But Matt's sticking with him. But you see, Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He knew that from the beginning. And many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him, because it's all about expectations versus aspirations. It is really good to aspire, to achieve, or accomplish, or produce something. But it's not so good to expect it to turn out the way you expect, especially when it comes to people. Have you learned that yet in life? Oh my goodness. You see, aspirations rise high above disappointment, but expectations tend to drop dead. Like old Judas. Erp. You see, Jesus chose 11 with aspirations and one with expectations. So I'm going to ask you again, have any expectations of Jesus lately? You know the biggest difference between aspirations and expectations? It's got to be white knuckles holding on to tight to what you expect. Because you know what you can't do with white knuckles? Open up, receive something unexpected, especially the growth and gain that comes from the pain, from the discipline that complements disappointment. So deal with it and stop expecting and start aspiring. Because in those moments of great disappointment, which we all have, our faith will either fold or we will double down on our trust. Our trust that our Father is always good and that His ways are always right, though often unclear. So when the dust settled from the stampede out of that synagogue, there just weren't that many left. You do not want to leave two, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." And somewhere out of the limelight, Matt said, "Me too. Me too." He meant it with all his heart. And then Jesus replied, "Have I not chosen you, the 12? Which could sound to Matt a lot like, "I've not chosen you." Yet, Jesus says, "One of you's a devil." Wait, huh? "Yeah, have I not chosen you, the 12? One of you's a devil." Well, he meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, though one of the 12 at the time, was later to betray him. You see, Jesus had indeed chosen his tried and true 12. He just hadn't told anyone yet who his last, or rather first by 1,000 years, choice had been. So when he proclaims right now his pride and his pick, I'll bet he had his eye on the one and only seemingly unchosen apostle standing just outside the story, being tried like no other on Jesus' first string. And there's no way Matt would have had ears to hear what Jesus had really just said when he said, "Have I not chosen you, the 12? After all, it's not like he didn't know from the beginning, right? And at the Last Supper, it's not like he doesn't just come right out and say to the 12, "I do not speak concerning all of you, because I know whom I have chosen." That's specifically about Judas and Matt. "But I chose who I did," he says. The scripture in Psalm 41 may be fulfilled. So if you're wondering why I chose this guy, I had to fulfill the scripture, because Psalm 41:9 says, "He who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me." Now, I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. He who? The he that you'll come to understand when that comes to pass. Well, I'll tell you this right now. What comes to pass is a revelation to end all revelations about Jesus Christ. And it will come after the sad but satisfying death of Judas and the unimaginably disappointing death of Jesus. But before we get to that, let's just mention on the night of his resurrection, when Jesus appeared to the 11, okay, as they were eating, he rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him. So remember, do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, okay? But does that seem right to you, the 11? Does that make sense to you? Obviously, Judas wasn't there. He dead. But Thomas was absent as well, because when he hears about it, he doubts it. And he doesn't see him till a week later. So why isn't it the 10? Because Matt's there. Well, just before Jesus appeared that night, the two from Emmaus had also returned and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon," as in Peter. So what did Jesus and Peter talk about? I mean, besides Peter's regret and repentance for denying Jesus those three times, that must have come up. Well, thanks to Luke, we know one of the subjects that was covered. Because in those days, this is just after Jesus appeared on that night and ascended, but before he returns a week later to breathe his spirit into the 12. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers, guess what? The scriptures, the woven scripture of Psalm 69:25 and 109:8 had to be fulfilled." That's what Jesus was talking about. Which the Holy Spirit of Christ, we're told later in 1 Peter 1:11, spoke long ago, like 1,000 years, through the mouth of David, King David, concerning Judas in the book of Psalms, saying, "May his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it," in 69:25, and then in 109:8, "May another take his place of leadership. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men," one of the two men who have been, because it turns out there's only two, "one of the men who've been with us the whole time." Really? "The whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism," which is how we know that Matt was there, "to the time when Jesus was taken up from us," he was there. "For one of these two must become a witness with us of his resurrection," but only two fit the bill. So they proposed two men. Joseph, called Bar-Sabbas, the son of Sabbas, also known as Justice, the Just One, and Matthias. Apparently only known as Matthias, which is an Old Testament name that means the gift of Yah. And then they prayed for the first time to Jesus, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Therefore, show us which of these two you have chosen," 1,000 years prior, "to take over this apostolic ministry which Judas left to go where he belongs," which was not with the 12. Then they cast two lots, you know, with a name on each, little stones. It's an Old Testament practice to determine, last time it's ever used in Scripture, Old Testament practice used to determine God's will. And the lot fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles, where he belonged all along. How disappointing for Joseph Justice Bar-Sabbas, but disappointment's part of it. But here's the thing. Why put him through that? If Peter was shown how the Psalms had to be fulfilled, why didn't Jesus just tell him it was Matt? Go tell Matt, that's him. Why put forth two names? Well, that's simple. So they'd have to cast lots to reveal his will. But why perform this Old Testament practice? Well, for one, Jesus hasn't breathed his Holy Spirit into them yet. He'll do that a couple nights later, once they have the 12. And along with the revelation of the identity of Matthias comes a greater revelation of the identity of Jesus. Because as Proverbs 16:33 says, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from Yahweh. That is the divine name of the Almighty Old Testament God of heaven and earth. As in the Old Testament passage from 1 Kings that says, "O Yahweh, my God, forgive and act and give to each according to all his ways, for you alone know the hearts of all," which is what Peter just prayed about Jesus. Just before using a practice that was used exclusively to reveal Yahweh's will, and they do this to reveal Jesus' will, showing us
who Jesus is. And it's just before, a couple nights maybe before Jesus returns and breathes his spirit into his 12 and ends the need to convey his thoughts by casting lots. Yahtzee, it's done. And that night that he breathed his spirit and sent them out and sent Matt out as one of the 12, showed him the, you know, those scriptures go together. You're the one from Psalms. What did Jesus say to Matt that night? Oh, I wish that was written down. I like to imagine, you know. Maybe he said something like, you know, being last, it means you were actually the first. Because David and I wrote about you. And after praying all night, oh, I knew it was you. I knew it was you who could handle the disappointment of Judas. Until the disappointment of Judas. Well done. Well done, Matt. Go get him. Bottom line, Jesus will disappoint you. Because his ways are just higher and greater and far more foreverish. So don't expect anything other than the unexpected twists and turns he has in store for your story. And aspire to aspire and loosen your grip and open up and double down and deal with it. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and worship you and loosen our grip to receive our training from you. Holy Spirit, compel us to double down on trust with each disappointment we face. And Lord Jesus, we must thank you and praise you for refusing to compromise our eternal best. And everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.